Hello everybody, it's us back with another Cumbria Cult Cinema Cast. But today there's just me and Dazzle.
Hello.
We were sitting chatting about kids' TV shows and things, and we decided to do an off-the-cuff podcast.
Yep.
Where we're going to discuss a handful of we wrote down a list of kids' TV shows.
See where it takes us.
Aye. So yeah, kids' TV shows from the 70s, really, and 80s.
Yeah, yeah.
From when we were a lot younger.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the stuff that was about in the 70s
was still about in the 80s.
Yeah, it was still about
getting
the 80s.
Repeated. Yeah.
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 If you're wondering what that noise in the background is, we've got a heater on because it's frigging Baltic in my studio, so we have got the heater on again tonight.
But I was saying, it's now 11:45 in the afternoon. 11:45 in the morning.
Afternoon.
Yeah, I don't suppose that. Yeah.
11:45.
Yeah, yeah. So and it's nice and sunny outside, and I said it's like a summer's day, like a summer's evening.
Yeah.
Because it's pleasant.
Yeah, because the
but it'd be cold without that heater.
Without that heater, it would be absolutely bloody freezing.
Yeah.
I've got to say, it would be like, that's a bit bad, isn't it?
Yeah.
Ah, that's a bit. I just had the microwave. I had the microphone a bit further away from us there. That's a little bit better.
Yeah.
Aye, that's a bit nicer.
More intimate, isn't it?
Yeah, it's closer. Hey. Hello, everybody.
Oh, and talking of that, we're talking about kids' programmes.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, there'll be no Jimmy Savile or Rolf Harris mentioned.
No, that's it. Done.
Yeah, that's the only mentions you'll get of them too.
Yeah.
But yeah, kids' TV shows, man, from when we were kids.
Yeah.
Kids' TV shows from when we were kids.
When we were kids, and probably some of them when we were adults.
Yeah, well, that's it.
I mean, I know I've a couple I'm going to talk about.
Well,
I've got a DVD.
Yeah.
And I know you've got kids' DVDs.
I've got a lot. Most of these I've got, to be honest. Most of these I've got in some description, whether it be on DVD, files on my computer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they're on YouTube, some of them as well.
Yeah.
And they're just absolute stone cold classics.
Yeah, man.
You know what I mean?
Where do you want to start?
Let's start with one of the best, for me, one of the best kids' cartoons ever, and has got the most awesome theme tune.
Can I guess?
Go on then.
Jamie
and the Magic Torch. No two nights are the same for Jamie. Jamie and the Magic Torch. Yeah, Jamie and the Magic Torch.
Brilliant.
Wanted to cover that when I was in a band.
Did you?
Yeah, and they never wanted to cover it, and I thought it sounded great.
Aye. Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Brilliant, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what I mean? That. Wordsworth. But yeah, Jamie and the Magic Torch, absolutely fantastic. It ran from 76 to 79. There was only 17 episodes.
It's mad, isn't it?
Yeah. And you remember
some of these programmes we're going to talk about, and there's only a handful of episodes.
But you watched them time and time. Because these ran, you know, I was born 74, you were born
72.
Yeah. And these ran into the 80s.
Yeah, oh, God.
They didn't just stop it, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
These ran into the early 80s.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And were repeated constantly, a lot of these shows as well. Some of them, what we're going to talk about, still to this day as well. But Jamie and the Magic Torch is just classic fantasy, psychedelic, lots of drugs, hopefully, were used in the creation of it.
Yeah.
It's just fantastic.
Yeah.
Little boy, Jamie, shines his magic torch on the floor of his bedroom, and a hall appears, leading Jamie and Wordsworth, his sheepdog, to a psychedelic fantasy world of Cuckoo Land.
Yeah.
Now, you know, absolutely, this one always reminds me of Dr. Snuggles as well.
Oh, yeah, right.
Snuggles.
I remember Dr. Snuggles, yeah.
Dr. Snuggles.
Yeah.
Fantastic. This was written by Brian Truman, who was also on the narrator and done all the voices.
Right.
And the only other voice was Jamie's mother. Mm. And she was voiced by Kate Murray Henderson. And that was just always at the start.
So
good night, Jamie.
Right, so that dude does all the voices.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean, well, I can't really remember how many voices are in it, though. I know Wordsworth has got a voice.
Well, all the characters had voices, so, and it was all him. Obviously, because that's the only two people...
That's amazing.
...who have anything to do with it. There's no... I can't see any trivia on it. As I say, I've just had a quick look there. I'll quick jump onto IMDb. There's no trivia on it, but it was just an excellent psychedelic... And the theme tune grabbed you as a kid.
Jamie.
That's it. Jamie in the magic torch.
Yeah.
I know people who've got tattoos of him.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah. And she loves a tattoo. It's a friend of mine. And she absolutely loves her tattoo of Jamie.
Yeah, brilliant, man.
She's an absolute legend as well. She's not on Facebook anymore. So I can't tag her. Oh, I can give her a message because we kept in touch. Because she just came off Facebook.
Oh, that's fair play.
Kept in touch with me via one of my mates, Steve Bennett. Jamie and the Magic Torch, absolute clonker.
Clonker.
Absolute cracker, and you know, I watched it. When did I last watch it? Last time I watched it will be at least a year ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Because I've tried to get Emily to watch it.
Yeah. Well, you want your kids to watch the stuff you watched.
That's it, and it doesn't happen. It doesn't work.
It's not going to work. I mean, I desperately want Evan to like Star Wars, and he does, but he's never sat and watched one of the films all the way through.
And he's... How old is he now?
He's 8.
See, when we were 8, we'd watched it.
Oh, God, yeah.
We were sitting down and watching. Yeah.
Like that jaw open. Exactly. Is this,
but man? I think kids are spoiled with it all now.
Yeah.
Because of the likes of Marvel.
It's too easy.
Yeah, it's all too... We didn't see stuff like big and that epic.
No, but don't forget something that was epic.
Go on then.
I'll segue. I'll use a WAF word there for you. There, I'll segue into Starfleet.
Oh yeah, the Japanese kind of model-y, animation-y
answer to Gerry Anderson.
Yeah. That was it, kind of. Yeah, well, I mean,
very manga.
Yeah, well, the Japanese were doing all that. They'd been doing it. I mean, when was Starfleet? 82. They'd been Godzilla and all the rest. Ultraman. You know what I mean? You name it. And they were just great at it.
Yeah.
And Starfleet was great.
Starfleet, yeah.
And it did. It had that kind of, as you say, that Gerry Adams. Gerry Adams.
Gerry Adams.
Well, hello there.
Gerry Anderson.
Yeah, Gerry Anderson, you know.
Gerry Adams.
Gerry Anderson wasn't planting,
he did.
allegedly planting bombs and running the IRA. Gerry Anderson, it did have that kind of very Gerry Anderson, puppetoons kind of.
I mean, Terrorhawks was dark, but Starfleet did it before.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah, it did. I can't remember when Terrorhawks was out.
I think it was not long after.
No, it won't have been. Terrorhawks was excellent.
Yeah, it was. It was Zelda. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Wrinkly bitch.
Oh, she was horrible. she was horrible.
I mean, the thing is, you see some women and you call them Zelda now. It's the best insult to some women.
Yeah.
Oh, look at that, proper Zelda.
I still can't believe I've done that Gerry Adams slip. That's just legendary.
It's all right, he listens. All right, Jerry.
You know, but yeah, a lot of people will find that hilariously funny. But yeah, Starfleet, 1982.
Yeah.
Japanese madness, as one comment says.
Yeah.
Clips from the series were used in the music video.
Done by
Brian May.
Brian May. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brilliant.
That's a great
theme tune. It's so cheesy.
Oh yeah.
But you know what? Even if you've never seen it, do yourself a favour. Go onto YouTube and look for Starfleet theme tune by Brian May and watch the video. And then if you don't want to watch Starfleet, you're fucking nuts. Because there's even a Megazoid in it.
Well, you know they've been making Voltron and you name it. Yeah. Fucking absolutely excellent. I mean, there's 26 episodes of the Japanese version and 24 of the English version. Lots of stuff cut out, and they'll have bits from other episodes will have been flung into other, because that's what they did back then.
Yeah.
But if we're going to talk, you know, you mentioned Starfleet, which was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
Then we've got to go on to another Japanese show.
Right. Oh.
Always Five.
Yes.
Working as One.
Yes.
Battle of the Bloody Planets. Which was, you know, I mean, again, that was a Japanese show called Gatchaman.
Yeah.
And that came out 70s, but Battle of the Planets was 79 to 85. Really? 85 episodes, yeah, 85 episodes, and I've got them all, all the dubbed ones.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Seven's Arc 7 was put into it, because they cut that much violence out of the shows.
Right.
So they put, and because of obviously Star Wars as well, yeah, they got that La La 2 Vito style thing.
It is very much.
So that's
like
why
that,
Seven's Act 7's kind of explaining what's going on.
And they cut, like,
because they cut out the ultra violence that was in the Gatchaman Japanese ones that was shown to kids.
That's a shame, eh?
Yeah, it is. We'd have loved it with all the ultra violence.
We would, yeah.
And I mean, you had, I mean, Zoltar as the villain.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, Seven's Act 7 was voiced by Alan Young, who was an actor, and he was in The Time Machine. He played H.G. Wells' mate. Do you know who he kept on seeing?
The 60s Time Machine?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
One of your favourites, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, it is. Alan Young done the voice of Seven's Act 7, and you can tell because he's got that nice light lilt that he had.
Yeah.
Because I think he's got a slight Scottish accent in Time Machine.
Right.
From memory. You know what I mean? Oh, yeah. You've got Casey Kasem.
Oh, as in Candid Camera?
No, Casey Kasem is in the...
Oh, it's Scooby-Doo.
Scooby-Doo in the American Top Ten.
Yeah. Casey Kasem.
You know what I mean? Because he was the face of the American Top Ten.
That's right, yeah.
Alan Oppenheimer.
Was he Scooby-Doo or was he Shaggy? He was Shaggy, wasn't
he? Yeah. Alan Oppenheimer, who'd voiced Man-at-Arms in He-Man.
All right.
He also he's doing Moss Man in the new He-Man as well. But he's voiced, you know, Alan Oppenheimer's voiced absolutely loads.
Right.
And it was just such a, you know, five members of the team.
Yeah.
Called G-Force, as in Gatchaman.
Yeah.
And we watched it and played as, I can remember playing games as Battle of the Planets.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Because they were all based on birds, weren't they?
Yeah, yeah,
basically,
yeah.
Their outfits were all based on birds, and they all had separate machines, didn't they? You know, and different. Oh man,
yeah. I mean, as I say, it was all to do with cashing on Star Wars. That's why battle instead of war, planet instead of stars.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That kind of thing.
It's like Battle Beyond the Stars as well.
Yeah. Oh, I like Battle Beyond the Stars and Star Crash.
Crazy.
That's another one.
Crazy.
So, I mean, you had... There was Jason, Princess, Mark, Tiny. It was just funny, silly. Keop was the silly one.
Yeah.
And all that kind of thing going on. Was that Keop? That was it, aye. And it was just...
Crackers.
Just really enjoyable for kids of that time. And all I wanted to watch was Star Wars. And
definitely lads.
Yeah, it was.
Definitely lads.
But, I mean, it had the women in, you know, princess in there for the ladies.
For the ladies.
For the ladies. So, you know, when you were playing Battle of the Planets, there was always a lass knocking about drag in for princess. You know what I mean? Otherwise, it was your little brother.
Yeah.
You know, you're playing princess. But she's a girl. I don't care, you're playing princess. You know what I mean? So, Battle of the Planets, just another.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, we're not going in deep on these because we've not had time to do any recceing, to be honest.
No, we haven't.
So we're just kind of quick types in and see what we're coming up with. So if we're talking about Battle of the Planets and Starfleet, we have to mention...
We're going space again.
We're going space again.
Yeah.
And run from 1970 to 73, UFO.
Right, yeah. Well, Gerry Anderson again.
Gerry Anderson
not
again.
Gerry Adams.
Not Gerry Adams, no. Gerry Adams was everywhere when we were kids.
Yeah.
Let's be honest, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You had Ed Bishop as Ed Straker. You had George Sewell in there.
Yeah.
It was a cast of Vladek Scheibel, who, you know, he appeared in everything. He was in The Saint and all that kind of thing.
One of them. Yeah. Probably in The Minder.
You had Benedict Cumberbatch's mother in there, Wanda Ventham.
There you go.
You know, Grant Taylor, Jeremy Wilkin, Georgia Moon, Harry Bird, Aisha Breaux, and Dolores Mantes, Michael Billington. There was absolutely cast of loads of brilliant British actors who'd done all these little series.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Stephen Burkhoff was in there.
Of course he was.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm just looking through Shane Rimmer, Penny Spencer, Craig Hunter, Susan Nee. I mean, Anthony Chin, Lois Maxwell, who played Miss Moneypenny.
Right, bloody hell.
David Warbeck, who was in a lot of the Italian horrors, The Beyond and stuff like that.
Okay.
You know, the cast of, you know, the guest stars, shall we say,
that'd
pop in. Stephanie Beecham.
Right.
You know what I mean? John Stratton. Oh, man, it's just George Cole.
Of course.
You know what I mean?
Of course.
There's just so many. I mean, UFO's still shown now and again on ITV4.
Is it?
And I think it's on BritBox as well.
Well, you know the ship they have?
Yeah.
The us?
Yeah.
The Interceptors, are they called?
I think so, yeah, from memory.
I used to have one of them. A kid.
I did myself.
Yeah, and they had a firing rocket.
With Shadow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Across the side.
Yeah, yeah.
I
remember having it, and it was one of my favourite spaceships.
I had the Space 1999 one as well.
The Eagle.
You know, the big long one? Yeah. Yeah,
you bastard.
Aye.
I always wanted one.
And I had the Buck Rogers Starfighter.
Right, that's a pretty cool one as well.
Yeah, can you remember it? The Corgi one?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've still got... Was that you?
No. Mine?
Yeah, it was you. Dad's knocking the table over. I've still got the Dinky Enterprise.
Oh, nice.
And it fires yellow photon discs.
See, I remember having an Enterprise.
It'll have been the one. We all had it in the 70s.
That big?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got it boxed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. So you bought that again?
Yeah.
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 It's not a surviving
toy. No, it's not a surviving toy. My mum got rid of all my toys, so I've bought them all again.
Yeah.
Because I'm pathetic.
Oh, you know what?
I even bought all my... Do you know the handheld electronic games you had?
Yeah, yeah.
Like...
Game & Watch?
No, the bigger ones.
Oh, right, yeah, yeah.
I've got Super Kong.
Right.
Astro Wars.
Right.
Firefox.
Firefox, classic.
Invaders.
Yeah.
And I've got another one, I can't remember what it bloody was. But yeah, I've got a few of those handhelds.
Yeah.
I'll rebought them as well.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, but I luckily rebought them before the whole big... I bought them like nearly 20 years ago now.
Oh, right, okay.
So it was before the big... It was a good time to buy them when you were paying like your 15, 20 quid for an immaculate one. Yeah.
People wanted rid of them.
For an immaculate one boxed up and you're like, I'm having that off eBay for 15, 20 quid.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean? So, and it just brings that whole childhood back.
Aye.
So, yeah, UFO, how many episodes was there? 26 episodes? Why is there only just about 26 episodes on everything?
You think there's more, don't you?
Yeah. You do, because I've watched that show.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, a few times, not like...
Sequential.
Yeah, just you catch episodes, don't you?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
And I can remember it being repeated...
They're all standalones, aren't they?
That's it. I can remember it being repeated in the kind of mid to late 80s as well, or early 90s.
Yeah, I remember that.
And it's just such a great show. Let's see if we've got any trivia on that. In the UK, people who drive on the left side of the road, the steering wheel's on the right. However, in UFO, the 80s Britain, it's all reversed. So it's all like the American.
Right.
Kind of crack. But there we go. You kicking that table again.
I don't know what's happening.
It's you kicking the bloody table. Ed Bishop, Straker, and Michael Billington died within 5 days of each other.
Really?
Yeah. Billington on June the 3rd, 2005, at the age of 63, and Bishop on June the 8th, at the age of 72. Now, I'm not saying any of this trivia is 100% correct, because we haven't had time to do revision and check anything. I've just dived on IMDb just to get a few little bits up. Gerry Anderson intended the second season of the series to focus on an alien attempt to destroy the moon. When UFO was cancelled, Anderson then developed Space 99.
Right.
So there you go.
So Space 1999 is a direct descendant of UFO.
Basically, it was going to be what was going to kind of be the second series.
I loved Space 1999.
I did myself.
It was, you know.
Haven't watched it.
I don't ever want to watch it again.
Well, I haven't watched it really since it was first on.
I've seen like little 5-minute grabbits. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and it's like I don't think I want to watch it again.
I mean,
I think it'll sully the memory.
I don't know if... See, I've rewatched quite a few shows from back then. Minder, I've rewatched about 5 or 6
Minder
times now.
Great fun, though.
Yeah. The Sweeney, I've watched, three or four times. Rewatched that.
Yeah.
The Professionals, that's the other one.
Yeah.
And to me, they haven't lost any of their...
original charm.
No.
Right.
I mean, there is one episode that doesn't get shown of The Professionals.
Right, what's that?
It's a like a British style Ku Klux Klan racist episode.
Yeah.
I think it's called The Klan.
Right.
I can't remember the name, or The Klansman or something like that. It's anyways, that's one of the Professionals that doesn't get shown.
Right.
Mm. But it is on the BritBox,
right.
Amazon Prime, because I found it on there, so watched it.
Right.
And yeah, it's a bit racist. So you can understand why it's not aired on in this country, so to speak. Since it was, you know, it's maybe been repeated a couple of times back then.
Of course, yeah.
Because it was all different views and stuff like that. But and I suppose they were shows we watched as a childhood.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah,
definitely watched The Sweeney as a kid.
Yeah,
definitely watched The Professionals because your parents were watching them and there wasn't much on TV.
You had no choice.
No, that's it. And I'd certainly watched Minder from start to finish.
Oh, Minder, yeah.
And it was great. And it still is great. I mean, it's a little bit cheesy. And Arthur's a little bit sleazy at the start.
Yeah.
Before it's all about her indoors.
Yeah.
And it's a very different show at the start, Minder.
Mm.
You know, Minder's... At the start, it's all about...
Gritty.
Well, it's a bit grittier. Because the first episode is where Terry... basically, he gets caught up in an armed robbery.
Right.
Three black lads hold up a laundrette.
Right.
I'll
have seen it.
Yeah, yeah, it's a little bit thing, but Arthur was only supposed to be the person who got Teddy the jobs.
Right.
It was supposed to be more... In that one, you can see that, and in a lot of the first season.
Mm.
But then Arthur's character became... Because it nearly got cancelled after the first season.
Did it?
Yeah. And then the kind of...
And how many seasons did it go for?
Oh, God.
Quite a lot. I mean, because then there was the new guy, wasn't there?
10, 11 seasons, maybe more.
Yeah. There was a bit of a hiatus,
I can't remember. Yeah, there was a bit.
And then they brought Dan the dude in.
Yeah, because they claimed Terry had left to Australia. But then they do an Australia episode, which is it's the episode I don't like.
Mm.
And you'd think, because they kind of get stuck in Oz. So you'd think that Arthur would get in touch with Terry to help him.
Absolutely, yeah. One last time,
and they should have brought him back in for that episode.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. Yeah,
it was an ideal to get him back in just for two episodes.
I mean, he's still acting, isn't he, Dennis Waterman?
Oh, he's still excellent.
Yeah, yeah. He's in something recently. I can't think what the
new
fuck
tricks.
Is it New Tricks?
Ah, he was in that.
I'm sure he's in a film as well.
All right, probably.
I'm sure he's in a film.
You know, he does like to sing the theme tune and. I like to sing the theme tune, write the theme tune. And he does. Yeah, that's it. I'll go in it as long as I can sing the theme tune and write the theme tune. He had a bit of a pop career, old Dennis Waterman, as well.
Yeah, did I, yeah.
So did Arthur.
George Cole.
They were released, what was it? What We're Gonna Get Her Indoors for Christmas. What are we gonna get? Something like that for Christmas.
It'll always be Flash Harry.
Oh yeah, brilliant. We're gonna do the Centrinians films.
We should get back on.
Get back. We kind of went.
We've gone right onto Minder, which technically isn't a kids' program.
No, it isn't. So yeah, that was UFO. Absolutely fantastic. And obviously, around that time as well, you had Doctor Who.
Yeah. Doctor Who, yeah.
Which, you know...
We'll probably go into more.
I think we'll probably do a proper Doctor Who.
Yeah, I think
you
so.
You know, not as in-depth as some Doctor Whos
no,
will be.
I'm no Doctor Who geek.
No, I mean, I know a bit, but, you know...
Yeah. I wouldn't say I've watched...
I've watched a lot. I've watched them all.
Yeah.
That as many as I can watch anyways are still there. And my doctor was Tom Baker.
Always.
And Peter Davidson.
Peter Cushing was good though.
Peter Cushing was an excellent doctor.
Yeah.
And he should be proper canon.
Yeah.
I think. He should be in there with
that film for me. Which one is it?
There was two.
He did two.
Yeah.
But
Daleks Invasion Earth.
Yeah.
And I can't think what the other one's title is. They were done by, I think it was Amicus as well.
Right. Alright.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So talk about Amicus, I watched a good documentary on Dr. Terror's House of Horrors.
Right.
House of Cards documentary, brilliant. Worth watching. It's on one of my Blu-rays, so I'll have to lend you it.
Yeah, cool.
Right. Back to it with the Doctor Who. So my doctor was
Tom Baker.
Tom Baker,
yeah, absolutely.
And
yeah.
You know what? These
I think
were
David Tennant did a cracking job.
Yeah, Tennant did a fantastic job. So did Matt Smith. I mean, they all have. To be honest,
there's no bad ones.
No,
really.
There isn't. And I think Jodie Whittaker's took a lot of flack unnecessarily.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. I kind of get the feeling that the BBC have lost its way with it a bit. Which is a shame.
Yeah.
I believe Sony's now bought a share in it, I think.
Right.
Could I did read something like that.
Could receive films coming?
Well, who knows? Hope maybe budgets will go up.
Yeah.
Because Russell T Davies is coming back.
Right.
And he was brilliant with the Tenant era and that, like.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Absolutely fantastic, to be honest.
Yeah.
And it was him who brought it back, you know, with Eccleston.
He's a good doctor.
He was a good doctor.
Yeah.
Just didn't want to do it after the first season.
Snob.
Falling out with producers and things during the recording. He was gonna, but during the recording he decided
that. I reckon he's a bit of a diva.
I don't know. We don't know. Sorry. Anyways, so yeah, Doctor Who.
Yeah.
What else we got? What else?
Let's Should we talk about Charlton and the Wheelies?
Oh, Charlton and the Wheelies. Hello, little old lady. Absolutely fantastic. Again, 40 episodes of Charlton, which is a bit more than some of the others we've talked about. Joe Lynch was the narrator, and he obviously done all the voices.
Yeah.
And he was an Irish lad. And he's done all sorts again.
Ringo Starr was in there as well. Charlton and Wheelies.
Was he?
Yeah, he's in the voices.
I've only got one comment. Well, IMDb is only saying Joe Lynch in the narrator, so obviously. Who did Ringo do?
Dunno. It's just something I've got here.
Right.
It could be bollocks, mate.
Yeah.
I'm looking on a site where it could quite honestly be bollocks.
Yeah, we don't. As I say, we've not done research, it's just we were talking upstairs.
Yeah.
And we decided, right, let's go and record an episode of this.
Yeah, obviously, it's called Charlton and Wheelies. Because it was made in Charlton.
I just absolutely, yeah, that's it.
Or Greater Manchester.
And it follows the evil schemes of the mad Welsh kettle witch.
Yeah.
She's just
great.
Yeah, she is. Yeah. Did you know the book's got, I think there's a mistake. This is just from memory. I can remember seeing something on a TV show that I think there's a mistake on the book. And it's not a pentagram because it's a kids' TV show. It's the bloody Star of David.
Right.
I might be wrong there because that's just from my memory. But yeah, they couldn't use the old pentagram for a kids' show. So I'm sure it was a Star of David. I might be completely wrong. Because that's just from memory from a TV show I think I watched. But it was just an absolute, utter madness.
It was a hoot, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The wheelies.
Oh, and them little mushroom things that used to spring up and down.
Yeah, it was an acid trip.
Of course, I mean, this is the thing, all these folk must have done a lot of drugs.
Yeah.
In the 60s.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Whether or not they say they did or not,
they fucking did.
There was some there was some mindset, you know, expanding stuff going on with some of the TV shows we got.
Yeah.
Can you remember the Gideon the Goose?
Yes.
Yeah, that's just popped into my head there.
Gideon the Goose, yeah.
I mean, there was Paddington as well.
Yeah.
Morph. Rent-A-Ghost.
Yeah. Rent-A-Ghost, yeah.
I loved Rent-A-Ghost.
Yeah.
Miss Popoff. Timothy Claypool.
Sue Nichols, who played Popoff.
And obviously...
Mr. and Mrs. Meeker.
Yeah, the Meekers.
Hazel McWitch.
That's it.
Timothy Claypool.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Dobbin the Horse. That was it. Oh, man, Rent-A-Ghost was excellent.
It was
like.
Ace.
Another show that started off kind of different to where it... Because it started off and it was like a gentleman ghost. There was Timothy Claypool.
Timothy Claypool?
Yeah. I've done it again, Timothy Claypool. Who was brilliant. I've got a T-shirt with him on as well. With his face on a T-shirt. And it was in a shop. And it was a very different thing. And then it went into, you know, where they were living in a house.
Yeah.
You know, the neighbours next door finding out. And,
The Meekers.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
No, the Meekers lived with, was in the same house as the ghosts. It was the next door neighbours that were... You know,
nosy neighbours.
Yeah, and God, who else was in it? It was in Porridge as well, and he's still about. He was in Rocky Horror Picture Show, and he's in my head, and I can't bloody think of his name.
Fulton McKay.
No, he's not in it. Christopher Biggins.
Oh, Biggins.
Biggins. Biggins. Biggins. Biggins.
Safari Man.
Yeah, Linda LaPlante was in...
What, as in The Writer?
The Writer.
All right.
Was in Rent-A-Ghost as well. God. Arthur Perkins and Rose Perkins were the neighbours.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes, that makes sense, actually. Yeah, I remember that.
That ran for 58 episodes.
Did it now? I didn't think it was that many.
Aye, from 76 till 84. So nearly 10 years.
Oh, bloody hell. Yeah, it was good.
It was good show. Yeah, you know what I mean? It was. And they should bring it back for the kids now. Because it was just so funny. Michael Stainforth, who played Timothy Claypool, he was a roller skater as well. He was one of the skaters on Starlight Express.
Oh, right.
You're on the West End.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
He was very flamboyant.
He was very flamboyant. What about Bod? Can you remember Bod?
Oh, yeah.
Brilliant, man. The adventures of a little boy called Bod who lives in the town with his friends, Aunt Flo, PC Copper, Frank the Postman, and they all had their own theme tunes, if you remember.
It was a fucking...
And Farmer Barleymore.
Ballymoe, yeah. It was a fucking mental programme.
And then don't forget, it also...
little games halfway through, wouldn't it?
Yeah, well, guess the milkshake.
Guess the milkshake.
Alberto the Frog and his amazing animal band.
That's right,
That's
yeah.
it.
Oh my God, it was weird.
And John Le Messier done the narration on that.
Did he now?
Yeah.
Bloody hell.
Oh, and it was just... I've got that on DVD as well.
I've got it, the complete bod.
many of the Alberto Frog segments are missing and believed lost. That's the only bit of trivia on IMDb.
Oh, well.
It's
a very strange one.
And I've tried to get Emily into it.
Yeah, but it's like as I said before, they're not going to like what we like. They're just not.
No. Mind you, I can remember...
we had less choice, mate.
Yeah.
We were forced to watch this shit.
I mean, I can remember getting it back in the... the early 2000s, I bought it on DVD.
Yeah.
And I can remember sitting down and watching it and just going...
You probably bought it for Music Zone. It's the sort of thing we sell.
I actually think I did.
Yeah, you probably did.
Yeah, and it wasn't a lot of money.
No.
About a fiver.
Did that just drip onto your...
Oh, did I? Thank you, dude.
All right.
I'll just wipe that up. Yeah. I just dripped onto my iPad. My drink. It's icy.
It's a strange one, Bod.
Yeah, Bod was... It was excellent, though.
It was.
When you were kids... I mean, when I re-watched it, I thoroughly enjoyed, because it took us back to that place.
Oh, it would do, yeah.
And every one of these, when I watch them, because I do watch them now and again.
Yeah.
take us back to that place.
Have you got the Charlie Says videos?
I have.
Yeah.
I've got both of the two DVDs.
Yeah, me too.
And then there was a third, which was a best of.
Right.
Which was the best of the two.
Yeah. Well, I used to play them at the Brickyard when I was...
Put them on the background.
Yeah.
Good idea.
Yeah.
Dark and Lonely Waters.
Transformers and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Dark and Lonely Waters.
Yeah. Oh, there's some spooky ones, like... Oh, Jesus! Way to echo!
Did you like that?
Yeah, it was good, that, man.
You know what I mean? Lot years of practice and that with the whole horror film shit. Fantastic Bods and all those, you know, Charlie Says and all that, and those public information films.
Yeah.
Do you know where your kids are tonight? Mother's playing bingo. Father's down the pub.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Absolutely brilliant.
Talking of another random...
Go on, then.
70s Ludwig.
Oh yes, that was that little silly egg thing that played instruments and that.
Yeah. And he was like a crystal egg, sort of thing.
Yeah, that's it.
Now I was convinced this was German or Austrian or something like
that. No, British.
But it was British.
Yeah,
and it was at Cosgrove.
Was it Cosgrove Hall?
No, it doesn't.
No.
No.
Because they've done so much as well, the Cosgrove Hall lot.
Yeah, they did. Although it was produced by the Father and Son team, Mirek and Peter Lang, and then Peter went on to animate Pigeon Street.
If you go down to Pigeon Street, these are the people you will meet. Yep. Long distance Clara. That's all I can remember from Pigeon Street. Long distance Clara.
It's a woman driving a truck. That's mental.
Yeah, this was the 80s.
That was 70s, wasn't it? Oh, no.
Pigeon Street was the 80s.
Good animation on that, wasn't it? Really over the top. Ludwig was just nuts.
There was, it says...
Like, loads of things would come out of his body and he'd have,
It
was just like a... It was like a massive fucking Swiss Army knife. But in crystal egg shorts.
Yeah, with musical instruments and shit.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Again, there's not much.
Loved nature.
Yeah. Yeah, he did.
That was a big thing about him. It
was all about nature. Yeah.
His relationship with the nature around him.
That's it. And all the animals.
It's quite poignant, really.
Yeah. I mean, it was excellent.
Yeah.
Very entertaining.
It was, yeah. I think they were only 5-minute episodes, weren't they? Or something like that.
Let's have a look, see if we can find. Yeah, they weren't very long. I can't find how long they were, to be honest.
But
there weren't very long episodes. There was loads of stuff like that. Talking of weird little creatures.
Yeah.
Can you remember Murren Bustansinger?
No.
That's in there, that little creature.
Yeah, you showed me a picture of it before, and it's sort of like... It rings a sort of bell, but I can't remember.
I mean, it was on telly. I think it was Channel 4. Yeah, definitely Channel 4, 82 to 89.
Right.
And it was a weird little, weird little head with legs and arms, basically.
Yeah.
Had hair.
Oh, he's got hair.
And he was like a grey-coloured head, that was it, with legs and arms. Lived under the sink in a terraced house. And the series followed his life and loves, because he had a girlfriend. And it's British again. And for some reason, because of the name...
You think it's
I thought it was foreign. You know, Murren Bustansinger.
Yeah.
And I can remember it mostly from, back when I was a kid, but it was also on in the early 90s, early mornings.
Right.
When I'd come in from clubbing.
Right.
Off me tits and watch a bit of Murren Bustansinger.
Yeah.
And it's just complete and utter, you know, the series was repeated multiple times by Channel 4, last being aired July 1996.
Oh, there you go.
So, you know, it was the ideal time for when... That's when I was obviously watching it. But 1996 was the last time it was re-shown. Sure.
Well, yeah,
and I think everything we're talking about, I'm sure you'll be able to find on YouTube.
Yeah.
You know, especially some of the weirder cartoons.
Yeah.
But Murren Bustansinger was an absolute fucking weird one.
Yeah,
I enjoyed it. You know, and as I say, I rewatched it early mornings in the 90s. And it was just complete nuts. Now, I've just... God, can you remember What a Mess? Narrated by Frank Muir. About the dog that was just a mess.
Is that a picture of it there?
Yeah.
No.
You see that?
I can see it. I don't really remember.
Aye, Frank Muir. Frank Muir was had a great voice, and he was a great character.
Yeah. Absolutely.
A bit like the legend that is Bob Cryer, or was Bob Cryer. Frank Muir used to appear everywhere on a lot of them shows. God, it just takes you back, doesn't it? Do you remember Binocular? The vampire rabbit? That drained the juice out of vegetables and turned them all white.
That rings a bell, yeah.
Fucking hell. The stuff we used to watch. Talking of vampire bunnies, can you remember Fangface?
Now you asked me this before. Now I've seen it, yes. Yes.
You recognise it?
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Fangface, absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
It was a teenage gang, a lot like Scooby-Doo gang.
Yeah. Captain Caveman.
Yeah. That sort of thing. I think it was... I can't remember who it was. Was it Hanna-Barbera?
Well, it looks Hanna-Barbera.
I can't remember who done it. Ruby Spears. I said that earlier
didn't
I?
Yeah, that's right.
So I said I wasn't sure if it was Hanna-Barbera or Ruby Spears.
Yeah. It's got that look, hasn't it?
And one of them was could turn into a werewolf.
Yeah.
And they had to all they'd done was show him a picture of the moon and he'd turn. And then if they showed him a picture of the sun, he'd turn back.
Yeah.
The second season was Fang Face and Baby Fang.
Right.
So they've done a kind of...
Scrappy-do
thing.
Yeah.
Which spoiled it. But that ran from 78. 19 episodes.
Right.
For the first season. And again, Alan Oppenheimer, again, voicing, who said... Frank Welker, who I think voiced Optimus Prime.
Right, okay.
He's doing Fang Face. Right. And he's still doing... Welker's still doing voice work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And he's still pulling it out the hat every single time.
Yeah.
I loved all these shows growing up, and especially the horror themed one Fang Face was, I think, to go up against the likes of Scooby Doo. Producers Joe Ruby and Ken Spears both worked for Hanna-Barbera.
Yeah.
But left to form their own animation production company, Ruby Spears.
Yeah.
And Fang Face was the first series to be produced under that banner.
Okay.
And there was a number of rules regarding Fang Face. Any image of the moon would transform Fangs, as I said, into Fang Face. And any image of the sun would turn him back.
Yeah.
When Fang Face would emerge, his first instinct would normally to beat up Pugsy. It does, he beat him up a lot. can you remember the Shmoo?
Yeah.
The new Shmoo.
The incredible new Shmoo.
I love the new Shmoo. The new Shmoo.
Incredible Shmoo.
Oh, brilliant, man.
Yeah,
that was all this time
was
as well.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, I think some new Shmoo was.
Was that Ruby Spears as well?
I can't remember. There was that many.
I'll have a look.
If Fang Fee sees or hears the mention of food, any food item, he tries to eat Pugsy. If he actually succeeds in stuffing Pugsy from his mouth, Biff or Kim would have to rub his feet in order to get him to relax and cough up Pugsy. Finally, if Fang Face sees his reflection in the mirror, he goes crazy with howling and barking. It was a great show. Same with, can you remember the Groovy Ghoulies? Everybody shout, come on now, sing out. It's time for the Groovy the Ghoulies get together.
No.
Can you not? That was Hanna-Barbera. And it was fantastic.
The new Shmoo was Hanna-Barbera.
Yeah, was it? Right, there you go.
Only 16 episodes of it.
Was that all there was?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm looking here.
It was a weird one, wasn't it, though, the new Shmoo?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you had Plastic Man.
Frank Welker played Shmoo in that.
There we go. The man's a legend.
Yeah.
Can you remember Dino Mutt?
Dino Mutt?
Yeah, which was they brought it back in the new Scooby-Doo animated.
Right.
Hong Kong Phooey, obviously.
Obviously.
Number one Number one super guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Hong Kong Fooey, quicker than the evil eye.
Do you remember? I'm going,
is it Sarge?
Sport Billy.
I loved Sport Billy. Loved Sport. I think that was because it was based around the Greek, the Olympics and all that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And his little time machine helicopter thing.
Yeah. Yeah. But was that Greek?
I think it was. I don't think it was, or Spanish, or
yeah, Spanish maybe.
Have a look, see what it was. Sport Billy, because that's a good one. Secret Squirrel. There was another good cartoon.
Yeah, I loved Secret Squirrel.
Atomant, Speed Buggy, Pixie and Dixie with Mr. Jinx.
Yeah,
I mean, you do. Oh, have you seen Jellystone on Cartoon Network?
No.
Brought all the Hanna-Barbera creatures back to live on Jellystone Park. Quick Draw McGraw, Captain Caveman.
It was German, Sport Billy.
There we go. Well, it was German then, not Greek. Began with a G, anyways.
Yeah.
Wasn't sure. But that's a missing cartoon for me.
Sport Billy.
Sport Billy. There's bits on YouTube.
Right.
But you can't find
Frank Welker, wasn't it?
There's a surprise. What wasn't Frank Welker doing? The Drac Pack.
Terrific, man.
The Drac Pack.
Yeah.
You know, teenage versions of the Universal Monsters.
Yeah.
And again, Alan Oppenheimer is playing Count Dracula. You've got Chuck McCann playing the Mummy Man. William Calloway as Frankie. Jerry Dexter as Jack Drac Jr. Julie McWhirter as Vampyra. And she's dressed in that whole, you know, as she looks like Vampyra, actually, from the, you know, the horror host. And it's nephew of Dracula leads a trio of monster superheroes against the forces of the evil Dr. Dredd. 16 episodes. I've got the DVD of it. Watched it multiple times. And, you know,
yeah,
it's just fantastic. It really is. I've gone on to the trivia. There's only three bits. Celebrity impersonations abound. Not only is Drac Jr. voiced in the style of Don Adams from Get Smart.
Yeah, yeah.
But Vampyra is given Eva Gabor's Hungarian accent.
Cool.
While Toad is voiced in the style of Peter Lorre.
All right, okay. Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Talking of Peter Lorre, I'd seen it on Channel 4 many years ago, and it was an American TV show called Roadhouse 66.
Right.
And there was a horror film, or there was a horror episode, a Halloween episode, which featured Boris Karloff, Peter Lorre, and Lon Chaney Jr.
All right.
You got Boris in the last time he wore the Frankenstein outfit, Lon Chaney as the Wolfman, and Peter Lorre as, well, Peter Lorre.
Yep.
That was that's a bit joke of it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Pete Lorre scared. They're all trying to scare people. They're trying to bring, because it's the atomic age, and it's all been the atomic monsters, and they're trying to bring the old monsters back and see scare people.
Yeah.
So they book into this hotel, and the two lads, Route 66 lads, kind of are looking after them. And they're going around and scaring everyone.
Excellent.
And it is. It's on YouTube, and I watched it on YouTube, and the first time I saw it was on Channel 4.
Roadhouse
66.
Right, okay.
And the first time I watched it was, as I say, was on Channel 4. Back in the late 80s, very early 90s.
I'm just going to make a note of that.
Route 66 on Owlett's
Roadhouse.
Wing. Yeah, Roadhouse. No, Route. Is it Route? Aye, Route 66. No, Route 66. I think it's Route 66.
I'm going to put Route after it.
I'll check it later on. Absolutely. On Owlett's Wing and something else it's called.
Right. I won't find it, will I?
No. I think what it is, there's a film called... I'll find it on YouTube again and tag you in it.
Yeah, cool.
There's a film on called Roadhouse 66. So I think it's Route 66. But anyways... Right. Because, you know, you get your kicks on Route 66.
Can you imagine how many things will come up for Route 66?
Oh, God.
You put infinite.
Route 66 TV, 60s TV show.
Yeah.
That's all you have to put in.
Yeah.
Back to Drac Pack. But Drac Pack was just, again, it was all horror in the 70s.
Yeah.
60s, 70s, 80s.
Yeah, yeah.
Cartoons
and
things.
We lost our way, didn't we?
I think they have completely. They don't do anything like the stuff we got.
No.
But the Drac Pack was one of my favourites, and that was, what was it, 80 to 82.
Right.
But only 16 episodes were put out. And I thought, you know, thoroughly enjoyed it. It was good crack.
Yeah.
What else we got? Did we write down? The Flumps.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But these little furry balls wearing hats and little hands. They're like heads with hats.
Like potatoes.
Yeah.
Just about.
And they live in this garden, don't they?
Yeah, they're cute as
fuck. The adventures of a family of cute furry creatures, the Flumps. Grandpa Flump, Mar and Pa Flump, eldest son Perkin, daughter Posey, and youngest son Poodle.
Poodle, yeah.
Each episode contains fun songs and the stories from the big book.
Yeah.
And, yeah, 13 episodes again, and I always thought there was more.
Well, you did, didn't you?
And The Flumps was one of them shows you'd come home from school on a lunchtime.
Yeah.
And The Flumps would be on.
Yeah, it was one of them lunchtime ones, wasn't it?
Yeah, and you'd watch The Flumps.
Yeah, I like The Flumps.
Yeah.
That was good.
Keep you happy while you...
Before Neighbours.
Yeah. Well, it was way before Neighbours.
Oh, God, yeah, I suppose.
Because it was 1976, but yet we were still watching it in the early 80s.
Definitely, yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Definitely. It was still on then.
Yeah.
Don't think it's been repeated, you know. Was it the Flumps had paper mache bodies, coated with fur, with facial features, hands and feet were made from Fymor.
All right.
And their arms and legs were steel armatures clad with chamois leathers, just so they could move. The music was composed by Paul Reed, and the theme tune featured George Chisholm on trombone.
Oh, what a fucking cracking job he did.
Yeah. The names of the Flumps, which we've already given.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's not much trivia on it. I mean, if we took a deeper dive, we could have found out a lot more.
Yeah, but...
All the characters and who... Blah, blah, blah. But, as I say, this was just...
a skirting over him.
Yeah, it was a wing and a...
Yeah,
a wing and a prayer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, and we've decided to do another one after this as well. We're doing what we've watched recently.
That's right, yeah.
So we're going to do what we've watched recently. We don't know which order these will get released in, so...
No,
you know what I mean? That's my thing.
Have we talked about Trapdoor?
We haven't talked about Trapdoor yet. Stay away from that trapdoor! Because there's something down there. Ran from 84 to 86. 40 episodes.
See, that seems like a lot.
Yeah.
Because not much happened in it.
No, I had the ZX Spectrum game as well, which you had to make meals
for the thing upstairs.
For the thing upstairs, and it was brilliant.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was a puzzle game, obviously,
yeah.
And it was fantastic.
Yeah.
And very playable, and I would love to play that game again now. Oh, yeah. Trapdoor for ZX Spectrum.
It was a trippy program, wasn't it?
Oh, it was. Plasticine animation, which we love.
Yeah.
Talking of plasticine animation, I watched Chuck Steele, Night of the Trampires last night. Fuck me, it is absolutely. I'll be talking about it later as well, but fuck me, it's excellent. You know, it's that stop motion, plasticine animation, looks superb. It's a homage to that whole. It's basically Mike Moore, who directed it, wrote it, produced it, has walked into a video shop in the 80s, grabbed a shitload of action films, well, action comedies, and buddy cop films.
Yeah. Well, the posters you put up, all them posters, they're brilliant.
And then a load of horror films from the 80s.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Which,
yeah.
It just reminded me, there's so many homages in it. There's too many to, to mention. Yeah.
I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, it's fantastic. So, but yeah, back to Trapdoor.
I don't watch cartoons, but I do watch stop motion.
Yeah, no, but it's aimed at adults. It's violent.
I've seen the trailer.
It's un-PC. It's sexist, and it's fucking awesome.
I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, and there's a prequel on YouTube as well.
Right. Okay. Just a short prequel.
Raging Balls of Steel Justice.
Right.
Chuck Steele.
Right.
Yeah, and it's about 15 minutes long.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
Did you watch that first?
Yeah, I'd watched that a few weeks back. Right. Well, a few months back, actually.
Right.
When I first seen Chuck Steele had been announced, and I'd done a bit of Googling.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, I've not heard of this yet.
So we've got on to Chuck Steele.
Yeah, sorry, we're going back to Trapdoor.
Kids'
TV programs. Yeah. The 3D plasticine animation featuring Burke a blue creature who lives as a servant to the unseen thing upstairs in an old dark house every time the trapdoor opens, a new adventure begins. For Burke and his pals, Boney a talking skull, Drut and Drut a mischievous spider.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Voiced by Willie Rushton.
Willie Rushton was brilliant. Yeah. He done Burke.
Yeah, yeah.
And narrated it as well.
Burke!
Oh, Willie Rushton was... he was just... One of the, again, he was like...
Huge character
that was on all the talk shows.
Yeah,
on all those, like Pebble Mill at one Give Us a Clue all them kind of things.
Yeah, yeah, he's a
absolutely. You know, you'll never get characters like that again.
No.
Because the TV at the time was just there to nurture them characters.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It was all about them.
Yeah.
There's so much distraction now.
That's it. And I bet you he'll have been on, which I didn't listen to at the time, so I can't know, but I guarantee he'll have been on the likes of having a Clue on the radio and all that kind of thing. Because he was that kind of, you know, with the Frank Muirs and the Barry Cryers and, you know, your... John Digents, can you remember John Digents?
Leslie Phillips.
They were all on these shows.
Yeah.
You know, they were afternoon TV fodder, really.
Yeah.
But they were ideal for it.
Yeah.
And some of them went on to voice, you know, cartoons.
Yeah.
Will o' the Wisp with old Kenneth Williams and the likes. But it was just a really fondly remembered
time
going back to it all and watching these shows. And I have shown Emily Trapdoor, and she does like it.
But you know what? I think Trapdoor's timeless.
It's
because of the animation.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
It's not dated because it's still used today.
Yeah.
That method.
Yeah, that's it. That whole, you know, because Morph and that was about at the time, and
Morph,
but Trapdoor was just because it was a bit macabre and it was monsters coming out the trap. Because every time you opened that trapdoor, there was something ghoulish came out, and the plasticine
model designers
just it was just fantastic. And it was like stuff you made as a kid, you'd make yourself as a kid.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because sometimes some of the creatures would be multicoloured plasticine as well, like you'd wrap together and.
Marbled.
And just fantastic shows.
Yeah.
And we'll never have that time again, really.
No.
What else is there? So there's a bit of Trapdoor. I think we're nearly about door. Mr. Ben,
and then I think I've got one that we want to talk about quickly.
Right, yeah, Mr. Ben. Again, 14 episodes.
Right.
And I know they've tried to make... Ray Brooks was the narrator on Mr. Ben.
Right.
Ray Brooks was a decent actor, and I think he had a bit of a West End career as well, Ray Brooks. But he was a decent actor who starred in a few films, and he'd done a few TV shows in the 80s as well.
Right.
But really good actor. But yeah, Mr. Ben is the ordinary bowler-hatted office worker who lives in the ordinary suburban street of Festive Road. However, when he tries on a costume in the mysterious costume shop, he steps out of the changing room into a different time and place appropriate to his apparel. His adventures include him being an astronaut, a pirate, and a Native American. Which you wouldn't get away with that now.
No.
Cultural appropriation and things.
How would they get away with that?
Yeah, boom. but as I say, they've tried to make it into a film.
Yeah.
Over the years, and they've had no thing. At one time, there was John Hannah was attached to play Mr. Ben.
All right. Yeah.
And what's his name? Sexy Beast. The other one.
Oh, Ben Kingsley.
Ben Kingsley.
As the shopkeper. Absolutely can see that.
Homage Djali would make a good shopkeeper as well.
He would, you're right, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I like him as well, he's funny.
And thinking of actors now, with John Hannah being probably a little bit too old.
He is.
I'm trying to think who'd make a good... Because it's a fish out of water film as well, so you've got to think who'd be...
Taron
Egerton could be quite good. You've got to go down the comedian route, I think.
Yeah.
You've got to turn it into a bit of a comedy.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely, yeah.
And,
A farce.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Richard Ayoade.
Fucking brilliant.
As Mr. Ben.
Fucking brilliant.
How good would that be?
That'd be amazing. He'd do it as well.
He'd do it. and it'd be brilliant.
Yeah, it would. You've hit the fucking nail on the head.
Yeah,
because he plays that awkward.
And when you look at him when he goes into the bush and he plays, you know, the wizards and stuff like that, he's a complete. You know, he's like this macho character, and
well, look at Garth Marenghi as well.
That's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I love Ray. I've got a lot of love for Richard Ayoade.
I think Richard Ayoade would completely pull it off.
Yeah, he would totally.
Festive Road was based on an actual festing road in Putney in London.
Oh, right.
Yeah, and where the programme's created, David McKee lived.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Oh.
2009 engraved paving slam commemorating the fact he was laid outside his former house. That's good.
Oh.
Yeah, so he hasn't got a blue plaque, but he's got a paving slab.
Cool.
That's all right.
Yeah. Not everyone gets that.
No, that's it.
Yeah.
Another resident of the street was musician Duncan Lamont, who McKee asked to contribute to the score, so they're all living on the same street.
Right.
Love it, absolutely love it. Mr. Ben, fucking just superb.
Loads of fun.
Yeah, get your kids on it. Wurzel Gummidge, there was Wurzel another one. Gummidge. I even enjoyed the new one.
I was just going to say.
Even though it's not John Pertwee.
No.
I really thoroughly enjoyed the first one. Magic Roundabout as well.
Yeah.
Do 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 do.
Brilliant. Well, there's one I want to mention.
Go on then.
That's one of the longest running. Grange Hill.
Do 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 do. Do do diddle do diddle diddle do 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 diddle do do do. Pack it in, Benny. Flipping heck, Benny. That was it.
Flipping heck, Benny. Grange Hill went from. What did we say? 30 years?
30 years. 78 to 2008.
31 seasons.
It was fucking... I mean, I can remember watching it from the start.
Yeah.
And it's on BritBox as well, people. I don't think it's all on BritBox, but it's on BritBox. So if you want to watch Grange Hill...
The originals, you've got, like, Tucker.
Tucker, Benny.
Humphreys.
Yeah. Bullet wasn't in it yet.
No.
There
was no Zamo.
No, it was Tucker Jenkins and the boys,
who had
the spin-off Tucker's Luck.
Tucker's Luck, yeah.
Which was great, which I think ran for about two seasons. Yeah. I had an annual, Tucker's Luck annual. Just, and he was, I mean...
And then he went on to play Mark in EastEnders.
I mean, he was in Krull.
Yeah, I knew he was in one of them fantasy films.
I mean, nearly said Krull the Conqueror, but no, it was Krull.
Krull, yeah, you're right.
And he was only a boy.
Oh, God,
he must have been living his best life then.
Yeah.
He was on one of the biggest kids' shows on TV.
And he got other work.
And he was getting other work at the same time, films like Krull.
Yeah.
Which, even though that was a...
I fucking love Krull.
...to do himself, but it was a flop.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I remember the posters being up and everything.
I want a glaive.
Yeah.
I want a glaive on my wall.
Yeah.
That weapon's amazing.
Yeah, it's high,
Harry Knowles has got one.
And as I said, the main protagonist is called Colwyn.
Colwyn Bay.
Colwyn Bay. So it's all...
You know what I mean?
That's it.
But no...
Place. But yeah, Grange Hill... 30 years, and it was, you know, it was a staple for any kid.
Yeah, and it had so many great storylines. I mean, we were saying about Zamo.
It tackled real issues that were going on, there was kids not being cared for at home.
Pregnancies, teenage pregnancies, drug abuse.
I don't know if there was any rape in there. I don't think there was.
Teachers sleeping with... Pupils,
students,
pupils frigging fantasizing and stalking teachers and getting them into trouble. 601 episodes.
Yeah.
That's a lot of episodes.
By Phil Redmond.
And they're bringing it back, and it's looking like it's going to be a film as well with some of the originals.
I did hear this,
Which is absolutely fantastic.
Weird.
Obviously, everyone remembers Mrs. McCluskey. Gwyneth Powell. I mean, there was a few actors went on to do... You know, John Alford, Robbie Wright, he had a pop career.
He did.
And he starred in The Bill, I think.
They all starred in The Bill.
Yeah, they all went into The Bill.
Come on, man.
Mr. Griffiths, George Cooper, he'd been in a few things.
Was he the games teacher?
No, he was the caretaker.
Yeah.
Who else is in there? Let's have a look. Michael Sheard, obviously. Mr. Bronson, who was in Empire.
Right.
And he played Hitler in Last Crusade.
He did, yeah.
And he played Hitler a few times, actually.
Well, he's an evil-looking man, isn't he?
Yeah, well, that's it. Lee MacDonald played Zamo Maguire.
Zamo, yeah.
Anna Quayle played Mrs. Monroe.
Right.
Anna Quayle had been in... she was in the Avengers. Not the Marvel Avengers, the Steed Avengers.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, she'd been in everything. She was an absolutely fantastic actress. Desmond Askew, he played a character called Richard. He was another who was in loads of stuff when he was a kid. And you don't see him so much now. He was even in music videos and stuff like that. I can remember from when he was just a little wee man.
Right.
Michael Oberio played Max Abassi. He was in Hotel Babylon and stuff like that. Good right. actor. I'm just going through the IMDb to see, you know, Patsy Palmer was in it.
Yeah.
And there was just so many.
Did you know that for a time, Chicken Man, the theme tune, was shared with Give Us a Clue? So they both had the same theme tune?
It's had the same theme tune, that's right.
Yeah. Was that one of your bits?
No. I'm just looking, because I say we've not done anything, so I'm just having a look.
You know what I mean?
I'd say the show spawned off Tucker's Luck, which would follow Peter Tucker Jenkins after leaving school with his pals, trying to get a job and causing mischief and stuff like that.
He was a lovable rogue.
Yeah, and I think the likes of Trisha Yates and all that were still in it.
Right.
Because she was one of the Trisha Yates, who kept on getting told off for wearing earrings and makeup and stuff like that. She was a bad girl.
They had the number five single with Just Say No.
Yeah. Just say no. Just say no.
No.
No to drugs. And they went over to the White House. And, some of them stole something from the White House. And two of them claimed to have smoked weed in the toilet.
Brilliant.
Yeah. But, you know, did they or did they not?
It's just one of them urban things.
That's it.
You know?
Anthony Minghella, Oscar-winning director.
Right.
Wrote and directed many episodes of the 80s Grinchel.
All right.
Where he got, made his bones.
Where he cut his teeth.
That's it. Friggin' hell, Todd Carty was 14 when he started filming it. He looked way younger than 14.
Yeah.
But you did back then.
Yeah.
Because you were a kid. 14, you were still a kid.
Yeah.
Friggin' hell, so he was supposed to be 11. He wasn't that young, I suppose. He was supposed to be 11, 12 at the time.
Yeah.
But it was on the money.
I mean, at least it wasn't like an American show where they were in the 30s playing 12-year-olds.
Yeah, true. the Americans done that, didn't they? A lot. They raised over $100,000 for anti-drug campaigns with Just Say No.
Well, that's quite a lot of money back then.
Yeah, it was. $100,000 was. Yeah. Obviously, Susan Tully played a character.
And she went on to play Mark's sister.
Sister in EastEnders.
EastEnders.
She played Susanna Ross.
Yeah.
I can remember her in Grangeville as well.
Oh, yeah, totally, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And obviously. And just...
We want to help you, Roland.
What's his name? Is it... I did have him on my Facebook for a few years.
Right, yeah.
But I haven't. He's not on there anymore, so I don't know.
He might have come off it.
Yeah, I don't know what happened there. But Grangeville.
Yeah.
Also, I think we've got to quickly mention, as you like your music and I like my music, there was a lot of kids' TV shows got turned into rave tracks.
Yes, yeah.
Rhubarb and Custard.
Magic Roundabout.
Charlie Says Magic.
Summer's Magic by Mark Summers. That's the Magic Roundabout.
Right.
Charlie by the Prodigy. Yeah.
Yeah. Charlie by the Prodigy. You had Trip to Trumpton.
Sesame Street.
Monkey Magic by. There was a monkey one as well.
I had that
one on vinyl. And there was tons.
Of them,
yeah.
There was.
You know what I mean.
Did did we say a trip to
I mean, Star there? Wars got sampled in Hardcore Uproar.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Why that never got picked up off Lucas,
I know.
I'll never know.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, more powerful than you can possibly imagine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's good. And that also sampled From Beyond.
Right.
Was it that? Was it Hardcore Uproar? They're at it again with the weird sounds and the flashing lights. You told me last time if it happened again, if I was disturbed, I'd give you a ring. Well, I'm disturbed. It's a woman saying it. That's a sign. I can't remember which
it's
dance.
It's not in Hardcore Uproar.
No, it's on a. It is on a dance track.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I can't remember which one.
Anastasia.
No, it's not that.
Quadrophenia.
No, it's not that.
This Cubic.
No, it's not that. But anyways, there we go.
Oh.
So,
you were doing all three of them tunes there, though.
I was, definitely.
You bastard.
I know, I was quite. But yeah, it was just, I mean, we could keep going, but we've already done over an hour, and I think that's...
I think we're calling it down. I hope you enjoyed it.
I hope you've all enjoyed that trip down memory lane. Sorry there wasn't our usual in-depth, you know, thing. And the same with the next one, it's not going to be majorly in-depth.
We'll just... talking about some shit.
That's it. We're just talking about we're talking about some, because what it is Woff's off, is too work, busy with work. He's got a lot of work on, so he can't make the podcasts. So Daz had popped down to see us, and we've just decided to throw a couple together quickly, but we've done no research or anything, so no. You've got to bear with us.
Yeah.
And the next one we're going to be doing is talking about films we've watched recently.
Yeah.
You know, some new ones, some old ones, whatever we've watched recently, we're going to have a chat about. So, anyways, we'll say good night, God bless, and we'll see you on the flip side on the next one. And this was the Cumbria Cult Cinemcast, and it's a Paperfoot production for the Cumbrian Sound and Vision Network, and the producer was Nick Brownlee and us, because Daz is going to start producing some stuff as well for us. He's getting trained up next. I've got Woff on train, so Daz is next. So anyways, good night, God bless, and we'll see you on the next one.